the new addition.
Sleeping through the night yet? No. No way. What can I tell you? I have a lot of Divrei Torah and keep it up again. I can't do it all. I've said it over the years here. Listen to it. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay, gentlemen, first of all, today is the 22nd of April. We're in the home stretch. And I want to say, first of all, to my wonderful students who are here, this is a very hard period for me. You don't appreciate it, but we bonded, and now you're going into the big world. God should be with you. You should be matzliach. I want to say hello to all my students listening across the universe, whatever word we have to use. And I know that you're listening because the email and the contact, the questions. So before I even begin, I want to relate to three issues that we've mentioned in class. Number one, the Rambam in Hilchat Ishut, which is such an important Rambam. So you told me a story that Rabbi Benjamin Bleich was in the Vatican. He saw the Kitab Yad, and the Kitab Yad was exactly like the Rambam's son said, that his father corrected it. So I just want to tell you, I sent him an email about 3 weeks ago asking him what the story is. I have not gotten an answer. So I don't want anyone to quote me as being definitive because it's hearsay. To me, it's earth-shaking. If Itaka saw a Ktav Yad, you follow me, Mendy? If Itaka saw a Ktav Yad, and it was like the Ben HaRambam, Yishnim Shlosh Drachim, Kesef Shtav Biya, Devat Torah, Min HaTorah, it's earth-shaking. But the fact that he didn't answer me upsets me, because if he doesn't answer me, it's a sign that we're passing on a fairy tale. Okay, so just be aware. I want to protect myself because I said what I said, but I was saying aid me, p'aid. I want to tell you very happily that my attitude against the Mitzitza B'Peh, I found, looking for something else, I found the tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Shalom Elyashiv in the Kovetz Tshuvat, Siman Kuf Chaf, and he's quoting earlier authorities one after another. Uvamokum di ika shun shemetz kshash safek sfekele sakana ein ledagdeik al kiyum minhag avoteinu. And he says this lashon that I just quoted to you is the lashon of Reb Chaim Berlin. So I am in good company. And I appeal to my students, Dr. Alan Black, Rabbi David Katz, who work for Satma, please, aren't there any postum de lamdanim that you can speak with? This is zil kri beit afu. This is axiomatic. And to me, that the New York Times has to pick it up, to me it's a chilul Hashem. So maybe you can bring about the Vah Hashem zu halacha in this particular issue. I also want to mention and actually give a little mini shiur quoting the sources, something we spoke about many weeks ago. And I have to say that I, Baruch Shekivant Ledas Gedolim, remember we raised the issue, if someone, an Eidat HaMizrach person, Moroccan, let's say, studies with Ashkenazic Rebbeim who make him frum, can he become like an Ashkenazi? Or lahefech, take someone Ashkenazi who wound up becoming through Rav Ovadia's sons, and he wants to be like his Rebbe, Eidat HaMizrach. And if you recall, I quoted a tshuva from you to you from David Halevi, the late chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. And it was a funny story of a Yemenite woman marrying an Ashkenazi. She was from, he was not. And the question was how to raise the children. And Rav David Halevi Paskin, that calls mom, the father is not from, they can follow the mother. But when the father becomes from, they have to follow the father. And I had the chutzpah to take issue with Rav David Halevi. And I want to tell you, I found now, I have to thank Yosef Chaim Kasala, who's not here, for showing me the latest volume of Yabia Omer, Chelik Asiri, of Rav Ovadia Yosef, Siman Tet. He has this exact she'ela. Echad miyotzei Ashkenaz shala l'eretz Yisrael, ubahashpa'at chacham sfadi chaza b'tshuva, v'limdol Torah v'halakha, v'himshich b'tshuva al-pi minhagei chasfadim. And he continued to be a Baal Tshuva. He speaks Ivrit. He davens like Eidot HaMizrach. His Kriyat HaTorah is like Eidot HaMizrach. Horav Shoyu Toshvei Ashkenaz. His parents, who, if I understand correctly, live in Germany. And I have to tell you, a lot of Israelis went down to Germany. My wife and I were looking around in Shoresh on Pesach. We have friends moving. They're building a senior citizens complex there. So we wanted to see what it's about. So we're looking around, and the people saw us looking right away. What are you looking? We thought we know someone moving here, so let us show you around. So they're showing us an apartment they're getting ready. Who are they getting it ready for? A doctor and his wife who spent 40, 50 years in Germany are now coming back in retirement to Israel, and we met their children who are preparing the apartment. So you see, I take this literally, that his parents lived in Germany for lo shamru Torah u'mitzvot klal, and they didn't observe anything. And this kid now is woken up, and he finds out he's Ashkenazi, and the entire time he's living like a Sfardi. And Rabbi Avadia paskens for him exactly what I said in class, Baruch Shekivanti, that he is a Sfardi. And Rabbi Avadia brings a lot of sources, including Kol HaMalameid et Ben Chavero Torah Keilu Yildo, that when you teach your another child Torah in place of his father, to a certain degree, it's like your own child. And if that's the case, the Sfadik Rebbe, who taught him Torah and introduced him to the Sfadik world, he has the ability to be a Sfadi. And Rav Ovadia adds on, I'm dealing with something I dealt with, I have new information, and Rav Ovadia adds on, Alach ad kama v'kamrim, the state of Israel, where, of course, we all follow originally Maron the Beit Yosef. So you have a very, very fascinating tshuva from the Rav Ovadia on this Rebbe topic. Now, in addition, I don't know how Yosef Chaim got hold of this, but evidently from a website, evidently my Talmud, Rabbi Dr. Mark Shapiro, spoke about it, but two of Rav Ovadia's sons answer the same, a very similar question. Here is one, the Halakha L'maisa from Yitzchak Yosef, that an Ashkenazi whose parents are religious, can he adopt Sfadic practice? And of course it has to do with legumes on Pesach, I'm sure. And he says, if his parents are firm, he must follow his parents' guidance. Aval Ashkenazi shehorav chiloniyim v'chozeh b'tshuva b'eretz Yisrael miyad kishechozeh b'tshuva terem yatchil inhok harama yachol lahatchil hakol kedat ha-Beit Yosef l'chumra u'lekula. So you heard that psak? Wow. And again, you see, it's two factors that come to the fore here. One, that his Rebbe who made him frum is Sfadi, and two, he became frum in Eretz Yisrael. So those of you that are going into outreach, if you have kids who are becoming frum, ship them to Eretz Yisrael. And the minute they get off the plane, they have to say, I'm now becoming a total Shomer Torah mitzvah, and I'm a Kambe Alau Atzmi, the Piskei, the Beit Yosef, L'chumra L'kula. And I have to tell you, there's no Chumra anymore. Because the greatest chumrah of the Beit Yosef, I quote the Rav, I told you this many times over the decades, the Rav always said, yeah, the Weltracht, the world thinks that it's great to follow the Beit Yosef, you make heal and everything, but they have one chumrah that makes up for all the kulot. You know what chumrah is? Excuse me? You're worried about slichus. The Rav was worried about glatt kosher. Because in America at that time, no one ate glatt kosher outside of the Eidot HaMizrach. And glatt kosher cost a fortune, and yet where do you get it? Today, the whole world is glatt kosher. All the OU, glatt kosher. All the Israeli products with turkey and with chicken, by definition, are glatt kosher. But they really are glatt kosher. So this kid, he gets off the plane, rice on Pesach, beans on Pesach, no problem shopping in Israel, all the cookies kosher, the Pesach, and the meat mailer is glatt. And he, another tshuva from Rabbi Avraham Yosef, who I know, this is the chief rabbi of Cholon, I know him from the army, he was the chief rabbi of the Air Force in the army, and he has Ashkenazi she'olah l'Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to become like a Svadi or a Baal Tshuva in Eretz Yisrael, who wants to become like a Svadi in Eretz Yisrael. He's allowed to do it because this is the place of Maran HaBeit Yosef. But when he's in Chutz Laretz, he has to observe like his father, Al Kitosh Torat Imecha. Anyway, I found this to be extremely fascinating, extremely enlightening, and Baruch Shekivanti, because I'd hate to think that a Rebbe makes a kid frum, and then 3 years later, this kid who was a monkey, before the Rebbe got hold of him, 3 years later, the kid won't eat in the Rebbe's house, because the Rebbe is Svadi and he's Ashkenazi, or the Rebbe's Ashkenazi and he's Svadi. Okay. So these
can I ask a quick Kassan question?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Cottonseed oil. Did you ever hear of this being kidneyed?
Never in my life. It's absolute amratzit. It's rishit. I'll tell you why. It's absolute rishit. You're touching upon something that I can't get over it. What do I mean? When I came in Aliyah, 69, everyone used made kidneyot, including from Jews from the Eidah Haredit. I asked Rav Unterman, he told me it's Minhag HaMakom, he said to me, Chief Rabbi of Israel, of Yisrael, Yisrael Unterman was a Gaon Adir, he said to me, you have to be Matan Neder and you can use my kidney, that's fine. So over the years, of course, more Americans started coming, my kidney, so a lot of products started coming out that didn't use my kidney, but margarine you can't make without a vegetable oil. So I spoke with the chief rabbi of Haifa, who I know quite well, Rav Shaya Shevkon, who is a wonderful individual. And I said, you give the Hechsher on Telma. Telma has a monopoly on the margarine in Israel. Let them make margarine with cottonseed oil. As a matter of fact, let them make cottonseed oil all year. That's what they do in America, basically. They tell me it's cheaper, it's healthier. He said, absolutely, it's a fabulous idea. Pesach comes, and I'm the happiest guy in the world. There's going to be margarine with cottonseed oil. Lo hayav lo nivra. So I contacted Rav Shaya Shevkon, my high. He told me, Telma was ready to go ahead, change all their equipment, put the run of margarine all year with cottonseed oil, invest $1 million in the plant and the equipment, etc., etc. The Eid HaRedit said they will not accept it. No, the Talmud is not stupid. If the Eid HaRedit won't accept it, so they'll pick up another $10 worth of sales on Pesach from a guy like Rakefid, who, don't want to use the word, knows a little something, but it's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So what do we wind up with? We wind up, there's no margarine, and the potato chips, you know the story with the potato chips, they wouldn't give a heksha. Our parents didn't eat potato chips. Well, if you're going to eat what your parents ate in Pesach, you have to eat, this is what I used to eat Pesach. Beets, potatoes, and meat. That was it. Nothing else. That's my parents. That was Israel 69. Okay. So the Eid HaRedit children were eating Rabbanit potato chips. Oh, the Beis Din Tzedek met and said, if the kids are all going around the corner and buying potato chips, we better give a heksha. So there isn't a potato chip in Israel that doesn't have a bedatz heksha for Pesach. If you eat it, you are putting yourself into the grave. You're being over on low tzach. They use palm oil. Ask any heart specialist. It's the worst oil possible. It clogs up the arteries. So this is the Eidah Charetet. Gentlemen, I believe in Torah. I apologize to you. My whole being is Torah. All my belief, my life, my thinking, my dreams, my vision. And believe me, I suffer with the cotton seal question that you raised. Go to the Eidah Charetet. Don't ask me. Yes, them.
Yeah.
Kitna in Hebrew, I think it's called. All right, Beseda. Gentlemen, let's get to work. We're leading into something very fascinating. Now, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a real life situation. A great Talmud Chacham, let's say he writes Svarim, he writes Psakim, but he's always being asked questions. Rav Ovadia's two Sfarim, I believe they're two Sfarim out, Rav Eliashiv, I just quoted Rav Eliashiv on Mitzitza Bepet. Rav Eliashiv's two Sfarim were not even written by Rav Eliashiv. Students collected letters that he wrote, articles that he published, Piskei Din that he gave in the Batei Dinim, and they put it together. It's very valuable, but of course it doesn't compare or hold the candle to Rav Ovadia's Tshuvot, which were written by a master and written with great detail and written with someone with an encyclopedic memory who knows everything. As you know, Rav Ovadia defeated the computer. I don't know exactly how the contest was held, but it's well known that he defeated the computer in dealing with sources. Fine. But Rav, you're asked, you think, you write. Where is the final say? And I showed you last time that the Rush, I don't have to tell you who the Rush is to us. He combines, infuses Ashkenazic tradition, Sephardic tradition. He influences his son, who later writes the Sefer HaTurim, and their contradictions in the Rush. In his Psakim on the Gemara, which is a Sefer Psak, you find one Psak, and in the Tshuva, you find another Psak. We dealt with examples for the sake of argument. No name, who doesn't make Havdalah, Lo Aleinu, who, by the way, I heard a terrible story right here in this building, what happens in life. You all know Stephanie Strauss, I trust, right? She heads up the Abraham program and all that they do to recruit students. Last Thursday, she buried her father in America while her husband, Alan, they're both my students, Alan Strauss and Stephanie, and Stephanie Schechter, I think her name was, and Alan buried his mother in Israel. The funeral the same day. Isn't that something? The death the same day. And she's sitting Shiva there, he's sitting Shiva here, and they have a bar mitzvah next Shabbat. No, they have a bar mitzvah. I don't want to go any further. You fellas are studying Hilchat Avelut now, am I right? Okay, well, how do you paskin? What do you do for the bar mitzvah? What can the parents do? What can the kid do? How do you handle it? How would you paskin? Think about it. Okay, so a no name can't make Havdalah. He's either exempt from all the mitzvot or enjoined from doing all the mitzvot. So I showed you a contradiction in the Rush. One opinion is, Sunday morning is the funeral, all the aninut ends, he makes Havdalah right there. Another opinion, once he was exempt from Motzai Shabbat, he's exempt from Havdalah. He doesn't have to make Havdalah that week, it would be a bracha levatala. Very fascinating question. What do you pass him like? A contradiction. And you take, for instance, the Shomasacha, Shomachinam. If someone gives you a mashkon, what's your achrayet? What's your responsibility? the whole question of a field that you bought, and then with the inheritance, you want the field next to the field that you own. Do you have to have a reason, or can you just say to me, this field is valuable? If you object, do you have to have a reason, or can you just say to me, this field is valuable, you want it, pay me? Again, a machloket. How do you paskin? What do you do? So I showed you that on this very question, everyone quotes these contradictions, and basically it all goes back to the Torah. It all goes back to his other son, the Zichron Yehuda. And I quote to you what I ended off the shiur with last week. This was in Hilchot Hamaval Hamashkin. We're talking Choshen Mishpat, the Torah, in the standard edition, page Kuf Nun Amid Aleph. And there's a big problem with quoting the Torah, because now they're modern editions and the pagination has changed. And I have blown my brains out on occasion trying to find the source that I saw originally in the original Torah. And here you have the new Torah, I don't know, 25 volumes. I don't know how many, this one edition, there's another edition. And wow, and the Torah is not broken down. It's not like the Shulchan Aruch. You follow me, Daniel? It's not like the Shulchan Aruch where you have it broken down. So he says, "Afa pisha kafav b'tshuva shamal v'alamashkin shomachinan b'psakav katav shehu shomesaka b'psakav katav shehu shomachinan u'diachronehi." And what he wrote in his psakim were written last. Wow. What a statement. We followed the psakim. Gentlemen, think for a minute what we're saying. A person is alive and kicking. Look at Rav Soloveitchik. Have you seen Dr. Tova Lichtenstein's fantabulous article in the latest issue of Tradition? Has anyone seen it here? If you haven't, make it your business to see that article. Without it, you don't know how to breathe air. And Danny, the happiest wolf alive, is your Rebbe. Do you know why? Because Tova's description of her father, Baruch Hashem, is exactly the way a guy named Aaron Rakepet has been describing the Rav for the last 50 years. What an article.
Who was the artist?
Leave me a note after class. I'll bring in my article and I'll Xerox it. I'll make copies. But leave me. You got to give me a note, because I have to remember. I have a great granddaughter. I told the boys due to give birth any second. A granddaughter-in-law. I'm hoping for a great granddaughter. But it's, I don't want to say a tefillah. You know why, Moshe? It's a tefillah shav. You understand now? It's an open Mishnah and bracha, gentlemen. No, who's the Rav? Who's the Rav? Yaakov, you've tried to understand the Rav. Okay? You read Dr. Tova Lichtenstein's article. Right? You've read Larry Kaplan's articles. You've read Moshe Meiselman's articles. You've read David Holzer's articles. All right, who's the real Rav? So I can tell you that one of my Talmidim, I don't want to mention his name now because this is not too complimentary, had the chutzpah to say to Tova told me this. I'm repeating what she told me. He said to her, "Tova, you didn't know my father. My father, the Rav changed his mind in the 1970s. You didn't know him then. You went to Israel." Tova was livid with rage and told me a story about her father in the mid-70s that showed 1,000,000,000%. He never. You want to know the story? I couldn't publish it. She said, "First, I'll publish it." I don't know why. But the Rav, President Shazar, do you remember President Shazar? I knew him. He was, in his youth, he was a Chabadnik, a kid brought up, Shnur Zalman Rubishov. That's his name, Shazar, Shnur Zalman Rubishov. Then he became a big Zionist, and Zionism then said, throw away religion, creating a new world. In his old age, mid-age, he realized the greatest mistake a person can make, a Jew can make, is to throw away God and to throw away Torah. Without God and Torah, we have no future. he came back, and when he was president of Israel, he went, when he visited America, the state of Israel was shaking because Shazar went to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The president of Israel went to Brooklyn to visit a Rebbe. They were going crazy tomorrow, and the Yediot and the Aretz and the Var and all the newspapers. And Shazar said, "What's Tumutzik? What are they making such a turmoil? A chassid went to visit his Rebbe. The fact that I'm president of Israel doesn't change the fact that I'm a Lubavitcher chassid." So Shazar, one second, so Shazar used to give a prize, he instituted, to someone who does something great to educate Jews in the diaspora and bring them closer to Yiddishkeit. The second year he gave the prize to the Rebbe, it was about 75. So they made a Kabbalat Panim at the president's mansion, and the Liechtensteins get a check, I don't recall what it was, but a substantial sum, let's say 10,000 lira, it's a substantial sum. So Tova told me she called her father, "Papa, what should I do with the check?" And he said, "Endorse my name, and then endorse it over to Mekaz Yeshiva B'nai Akiva." And that's what happened to that check. And that's in the mid-late 70s, okay? So you're going to say the Rav changed his mind, but you see, I have a lot of divrei Torah on this topic.
Are you saying the Rav became less Zionist than
Simon? Of course! The less Zionist, and a Agudist, and anti-Israel, and everything that goes with it. Gentlemen, there's a reality. The Baruch Hashem, the Rav was active for so many years. On certain issues, he did change his mind. Certain issues, he did. He moved more right, he moved more left. This is a human being. You're reacting. You take the question of restitution, of reparations from Germany. I heard the Rav speak. I have a tape of the Rav speaking. He makes Menachem Begin look like a lightweight. He's screaming and yelling. And the Rebbe was right, by the way. If I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. I'm a Kanoi. I wouldn't have taken 1 cent from Germany. Many years later, the Rebbe said, maybe I was wrong. Without the German money, we couldn't have built the state, the infrastructure, etc. Okay. So tell me, how do you ever know what's the final word? With all due respect, you all see me here every day. I was here every day, What am I doing here in the morning? You see, I'm working, I'm taking books, I'm going to the library, I'm going upstairs, I'm Xeroxing, I'm preparing shiurim. We keep on working. I revisit topics I dealt with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The shaila of Midivrei Sofrim, that Rambam is haunted me as long as from the time I first heard the topic with the Rav. It haunts me. It haunts me. No, what do you mean the Achrona? Can anyone say and sign and seal? This was his last opinion. Shomachina, Shomasacha. What's the Torah saying here? What is, remember I quoted to you the Zichron Yehuda? What is Rabbi Yehuda Ben Harash? That the Psakim, that's what he did afterwards. What are you talking about? And Reb Moshe issued his first volume in Or HaChaim in the mid-50s. I told you we were dancing in the streets. We were filled with joy. Reb Moshe, we now have the Ikrot Moshe. It's written. We can touch it. We can look at it. What? And Reb Moshe didn't answer another 10,000 questions on Or HaChaim afterwards? So this is a very, very delicate question. And I believe I ended off the class by quoting the Prisha, Rav Yeshua Falk Cohen. I remember I quoted him. And I told you that a direct descendant lived right next to me on Rehov Rav Berlin. His wife still lives there, if I'm not mistaken. A direct descendant. And he says, what do you mean, the Achrona? This is not a general klal. Only in these cases where the Torah says the Achrona, the Torah evidently knew that his father wrote the Psak after the Tshuva. But we cannot say that this is a general klal. And he quotes the Beis Yosef. And this becomes very, very fascinating, because the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, and again, I have to tell you, I told you this months ago, I tell you this again, I will deal with it in great detail next year, B'ezrat Hashem. Remember, Rabbi Yosef Karo is not just another Rishon, another Achron. Rabbi Yosef Karo, Mipiv Anu Chayim. Hiskum Aleim Kol Yisrael. Psak Halacha, our religious life does not begin without the Shulchan Aruch. You want to learn for Smicha, you have to learn Shulchan Aruch. You want to learn Hilchat Shechita, you have to learn Shulchan Aruch. You have to want to learn Avelet, you have to learn Hilchat Avelet. You wake up in the morning, you want to know what to do, you're learning Mishnah Berurah. No, Mishnah Berurah is Shulchan Aruch. Everything. You open up the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm now learning Hilchat Kibud Aviyim in the Aruch HaShulchan. No, what's the Aruch HaShulchan based upon? The Shulchan Aruch. Everything goes back to the Shulchan Aruch. So when I quote the Beis Yosef, and by the way, what is the status of the Shulchan Aruch? It's a fascinating question. Is he a Rishon or an Achron? Where do you rate him? Where do you put him? Again, there are no ironclad rules here. But how does Gedolei Yisrael view the Shulchan Aruch? So you should know, in the Beis Yosef, he's viewed as a Rishon. In the Shulchan Aruch, he's ruled as an Achron. And you want me to explain why? I can explain why in a second, but just let it sink in. In the Kesef Mishnah, what is Shmuel, right? What do you think he's viewed in the Kesef Mishnah? It's a Rishon. Kesef Mishnah. Rambam. Beis Yosef. On the Torah. It's a Rishon. Shulchan Aruch. He's an Achron. Anyone can tell me why? There's good reasoning behind it.
Is the Rambam his name?
Yeah, the Rambam was an Achron.
Is he considered a Rishon when he's on the Torah?
No. The Rambam is considered an Achron down the line. Alzeh Leitman de Palik. The earliest Achron. The early Achron. I'll tell you why, gentlemen. What does it mean, a Tana, an Amora, a Gon, a Rishon, an Achron? It's a decline. What the Rishonim knew, the Achronim don't know. You want the Rakefet proof? Whenever a Rishon quotes the Gemara, the most he'll do is quote a Perek. No, an Achron already has to quote a Perek and a Daf. And within 100 years, they'll be quoting a Perek, a Daf, and the line, so that you can find it quickly. And this is true. And this is what I told you, that our period may not be Achronim anymore. This may be the period of Mesadrim, of Ma'asvim. What are our greatest contributions? What we collected together, what we did with the Encyclopedia Talmudica, what we did with the Otzer HaPoskim. See, putting down a code like the Shulchan Aruch, an authoritative code, shows the generation is less. We're not what we used to be. Until now, we didn't need a code. We could reach a decision. We could manage. Now we need a father to lead us, to guide us, to take us by the hand. You follow me, Taniel? We can no longer fish on our own. Got it? We are not good fishermen anymore. We need guidance. So it makes a lot of sense. In the Beit Yosef, he's a Rishon. In the Shulchan Aruch, he's an Achron. Now, I'll give you two sources in the Beit Yosef. I don't want to go into the sugyas, because it would take a whole shiur. But one source is from Hilchot Mayan U'Mikvah. In the standard tour to Yoredeya, this is the original tour, the tour that all of us used in our youth, before these beautiful edited editions, Sadi Tet Amid Bet 99b. And it deals with, if you put a kli in a mikveh and you toivel yourself in the kli, it's not a mikveh. It's water that you brought in. It's mayim she'uvim. You brought it in the kli. But if you have a hole in the kli that connects it to the water around it, then of course it has a din of a kosher mikvah. Nishika, isn't that the way we makshir mikvah generally? Farakwa is the famous, you know how they were makshir the mikvah there with ice. With the Moshe deals with it with ice that dried, the Narach HaShulchan. But generally speaking, we use rainwater to build the mikvah, and the rainwater is in the bar, and the mikvah is next to the bar with a big opening that allows the water to go back and forth. And once you have memsah in the bar, you can bring in all the water in the world and be machshir, and be machshir the mikvah. So they're dealing here with a question of how big the hole has to be, what is the status if you go into the mikvah there, and here too there is a contradiction between what the Rush said in his psakim and what he said in his tshuva. And the Beit Yosef says, quoting the Tur and quoting the other son of the Rush, Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Harash, that this concept that he wrote the psukim last only in those cases where we know it as a fact. It only applies where you know for sure he wrote the tshuva before the psak. It's not a general rule. No one in the world can stand over Rabbi Avadja Yosef, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Mori Urebi, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Halevi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Shalom Eliashiv. No one can stand over them. You can't breathe down their back. You can't watch them for 40, 50 years. So how do you know he didn't write a tshuva after his psak volume? And even Rav Ovadia, who specializes in tshuvot, but his sons have put out endless volumes that the Eidot HaMizrach learn like we learn Mishnah Brura. No, even if they're psakim, black and white, who says Rav Ovadia didn't get a new shaila? Who says Rav Ovadia didn't give a different tshuva? So you see that the Beis Yosef agrees with the Prishah. Only where you know, otherwise you can't make such a statement. And again, you have it in Hilchat Ribit. Again, I'm quoting Yoredeya. By the way, this is a topic that my classmate, Gaon Adir, who none of you really know well, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, recognize the name. As my students tell me, they call him the Grach, Dr. Grach. I mean, students are very smart. When they make fun of a Rebbe on Purim, you watch the students. They understand the Rebbe 100%. And the way they make fun of the Rebbe is absolutely what the Rebbe is deserving of or worthy of. And I got more news for you. If a Rebbe can't take it, and we had a famous issue in YU with a Rebbe who couldn't take it, I always say, if a Rebbe can't take it, he cannot dish it out all year. But if a Rebbe, a good Rebbe, you know, you have to rattle a student a little. If you hit a student all year, you got to let them hit you back, and you listen carefully. You'll see how they understand. Were you in the yeshiva with Volk, with the Volk? You don't. Oh, what went on? What went? You don't know the story? Oh my gosh! Yeshiva was small, and the chagigot were something massive, beautiful, and you could see the love. Let's say Rav Poleyev would walk in; everyone was banging on a pot and standing up. There was such love for the man. Anyway, one year, it must be mid-50s, early 50s. Oh, they're singing the Gramen. Old Rav Volk is a shtickle bulk. For the Eidat HaMizrach boys here, let me translate. Old Rabbi Volk is a piece of bulk. He didn't know what the word meant. These were tragedies. If you've read, have you studied Washington to Washington? Gentlemen, what are you waiting for? I'm going to tell you something, a secret. Sherry has 3 copies left of the original printing. Grab them, because it has the pictures that are beautiful. The 3rd printing already, the publisher is making money, and he does a cheap job and charges the same fortune. Raquef lies on the floor starving. That doesn't matter, but the publisher is making. Go to Sherry and get. These are tragic figures. You know the Holocaust Day last week? No one speaks about this, but Rakefit wrote about it. I mean, be the first one. The people who never found themselves, even though they survived. So Rabbi Volk didn't know what the word Volk meant. A day later, Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelik and these guys were at each other's throat. One was a Ratna, a Briska, and one was a Telzha. And I cannot tell you the rivalry between Harvard and Yale. And he meets Rav Volk in the hallway. I wish that every syllable is true. Nu Rav Volk. I'll say it in English. Nu, I can't even, I forgot my English already. Nu Rav Volk. Rabbi Volk, did you hear what the boys called you? So Rav Volk says, no, name, was meint that? What does it mean? Volk. Volk. Rabbi Volk, I don't know what the word, can you? I don't know what the word means. He says to him, Ashtikel Fleisch. A piece of fat meat with 2 eyes. That's what the boys called you. We come into class, word of honor, 1 o'clock, it's Shia, and Rabbi Volk walks in, looks around the class, and in Yiddish, I'm saying it in English, but I'm losing it. I'm dreaming it in Yiddish. Boys, you want a shear? Get yourself a piece of meat with 2 eyes, but I will not give you a shear. And out he walks. 1 second later, the man who ran the yeshiva, the legendary Mr. Abrams, walks in, all suspended. The whole class, we had to go down, we're sitting there. And and Abrams knew, what do you want out of us? So we had to write a letter of apology and we'll never do it again. And with miracles, he took us back in. And a day or 2 later, Baruch Hashem, he said his shiur. But these are the tragedies. Anyway, Chagoyim Reb Chaim, Dr. Grach, is an expert. This is what he did his master's on, his doctorate on, Jewish-Gentile relations. And he's dealt with, you all know, his magnum opus, of course, is dealing with wine, Gentile wine.
Jewish
wine.
In the Middle Ages, of course.
Franco-Germany, Middle Ages. A genius of geniuses. My classmate. So, Reb Chaim also deals with taking interest from a guy. You have to understand that these are one of the most terrible problems that Jews had. Because when you lend money, money has to work for you. And if you can't take interest, then you're losing out. So Jews had big businesses dealing with Goyim, and they had all types of subterfuges how to get interest to a third party, and it wouldn't count as their interest, and tremendous problems in the halacha. Yeah, but we're talking where Jews were involved, that the guy is the third party, that the guy is the intermediary, and it's legal fiction, you understand? So there was a whole question how you do with the guy, with the Jew, with the mashkon, and again the Rush contradicts himself. There's a difference between the tshuva and a difference between the psak. And once again, the Beis Yosef says, black and white, this is not a general rule. If you know what he wrote last, that's what counts. But if you don't know, there is no way you can say the psukim were written after the tshuvot. He started it the year he died. He finished it on his deathbed. He never answered another question in between. Gentlemen, this same question comes up with the man who gives us life, Rabbi Yosef Karo. All his life, he was writing. He wrote the Keset Mishnah on the Rambam, the Beis Yosef on the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch. And you have no idea the authority of the Shulchan Aruch. And you have no idea how much we have to deal with it. And when you paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, let me tell you, you don't sleep that night. You got to know what you're doing. You take Yom Tov Sheni. You all know that I paskin against the Shulchan Aruch. All right, I have guts to do it, not because I'm paskin, the Rav paskin that way, Rav Chaim Riska paskin that way, the Chacham Tzvi paskin that way, the Minchat Loza paskin that way, Rav Avadja paskins that way, basically, the Chazon Ish paskin, but Sarah Kefet can paskin against the Shulchan, but boy, you got to have knowledge and understand what you're doing, because the Shulchan Aruch is like the Gemara to us, plain and simple. He wrote Shuvat. Avkat Rachel. Later they published on Eben Ezra, Shuvat Beis Yosef. And at times, the question comes up, what have we accepted? Do we accept everything that he wrote? Can every psak of the Beit Yosef obligate us? Not just the psakim, the perushim, the tshuvat. And I'll give you an example. I'll give you sources, but let me explain myself. If there's a machlokes on a money issue, and a chayshin mishpat, again, is a part of the Shulchan Aruch that we neglect. In modern times now, with the state of Israel, chayshin mishpat becomes more and more important. For many reasons, but they didn't hear. We want Mishpat Avri in the general courts. You have to learn Choshen Mishpat today. My daughter had many exams in Choshen Mishpat. It was fascinating. She, Dafka, had to learn Eben Ezra and Choshen Mishpat. I told her, I know Aruch Chaim and Yoredeya a little bit. I don't say I know, a little bit. So she knows Choshen Mishpat and Eben Ezra. When I have certain questions in Eben Ezra, I'll ask my daughter, because she can guide me to the response literature on what's Nohig in the Bat Dinim today. So, in a Chayshim Mishpat issue, let's say I'm having a fight with Yaakov over $100. And I'm holding the $100. And there's a Machlokes Rishonim on this issue. How the money reached me, am I right, is it mine, is it yours? Machlokes Rishonim. No, if I'm holding the $100, and for the sake of argument, Yaakov says to me, I paskin like the Rambam, give me back the $100. No, I don't budge, why not? Hamotzi mechaveo, olav haraya. Isn't that a basic klal? If I am the magzik, how is there an English word for that? If it's in my hands, you can't just get it out by telling me I paskin like the Rambam. You paskin like the Rambam, I paskin like the Rif. Got it? I had that once on an LR plane. I sit down and they left this, I'm a King David member, they left the seat next to me open because we have an empty seat, we're leaving it open next to you, you're a King David member. A man, must be a survivor, because you had to be that type of person to survive. A man and his wife sit down on 3 and 4, and he starts putting his stuff on the seat. I say to him, sir, this is my seat too. I'm a King David member. He says, you're a King David member? I'm a King Solomon member. He never heard of a King David. You're a King David? I'm a King Solomon. Go fly a kite. So you see, and boy, when I saw that, I said, if I can just leave a safer there, I'll be happy. I'm not going to fight with this guy. He's a King Solomon member. He's absolutely right. Gentlemen, so my choik is the Rambam and the Rif. Yaakov says to me, I paskin like the Rambam, give me the $50, whatever, $100. I say to him, I paskin like the Rif, Hamotzi mechaber olav araya, I'm the Mazik, prove it. Tell me, what about if it's a machloikis between the Rif and the Psak of the Machaber? And Yaakov says to me, I paskin like the Machaber. I say I paskin like the Rif. Smack my face, tie me up, and grab the $100 from my pocket. And they say to me, you rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, handed, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, the bad, surreptitious, malevolent, apikoris, amaritz. You have the chutzpah to say you paskin like the Rif when Maran HaBeit Yosef, the Machaber, paskin differently. You follow me? And you should know that most Achronim say, I'll give you sources in a minute, whatever the Beis Yosef said, Kiblu Aleihem Kol Yisrael, not just his Psakim, his Tshuvot, his Perushim. And if someone says to you, you owe me $100, and the Mechaber agrees with me, kiss the $100 goodbye. The fact that you are the Motzi Mechavera with that, it's yours, and he has to bring the proof, doesn't need any more proof, because we paskin like the Mechaber. Wow. Well, if we give the Mechaber such authority, what do you do when he contradicts himself? And of course, this question haunts us. If we're from Eidot HaMizrach and we give Rav Ovadia so much authority, Rav Ovadia contradicts himself. Where do we go? I can tell you, with the Rav. I have a contradiction I live with every Saturday night. Every Saturday night. I heard the Rav say with my own ears that at night you do not say Atah Kadosh aloud. You all know in Vala Tzion, there's a replica of the Kedusha Vata Kodesh Hoshev Tilat Yisrael V'Korah Zel Zevi Yama Kodesh 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 Sani Ruch Hashmach Harai Korash Kedol Baruch Vod Hashem Min Komo. We dealt with this in class a few weeks ago. Rav said, nighttime is not a time, midat hadin at night, dark, frightening. You can't say Kadosh Kadosh. You're not on that level. That's for a human being who enjoys life and feels the joy. It's Yom HaTzmut. He's a great human being. Yom HaShoah or Yom HaZikaron is like nighttime. Don't say it aloud. In I never heard in Europe that they should say it aloud. And yet people tell me in the 70s, they swear to me that the Rav said he changed his mind and you can say it aloud. And every Saturday night, and now in Avelitz, I generally daven for the Yomid, it's a minyan in my building Saturday night. So if there's no Achiev, I'm not a davener, believe me. My mother and father made me a yatom, they didn't make me a Baal Tefillah. But all right, I bring cover to my parents' memory. I made a siyum, you remember, on the Shloshim, and I'll be making a siyum shas soon. So Baruch Hashem, I do what I can where I have strength. But Saturday night, I generally daven, and until today, I don't know what to do. The truth is, I say it aloud because everyone else says it, so they expect me to be like everyone else.
You have already established Saturday. You go by what was last.
I don't know what was last. And say it aloud on Saturday night? Ask him. Because I heard the rub with my own ears. Anyway, I don't know.
Wait, but you just said.
It's, yeah, but you're not
heard earlier.
Right. That's what I'm told.
That's it.
What do you mean, that's it? It's hearsay.
Wait a minute,
a second. You weren't here at 5:30, but were you here when I told the class what I wrote to Rabbi Bleich? He saw this manuscript in the Vatican? Remember with the Rambam, Shlosh Drachim, Kesef Shtava B, and Midvat Torah? No, he never published. A student tells me this is earth shaking. I sent him an email, I haven't gotten an answer. It's already 3 weeks. I don't want to be quoted. I hold off until I hear from him. I don't believe what Tom, Dick, and Harry told me. Something like that has to be published in Third Shaking. I got to hear it from him. I haven't heard. I don't understand it.
That book, what's the name of it?
Goffin, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It has every single thing about the
book. So write down. Give me a paper. Write down.
It's not only in the Goffin. It's also in the New Siddur that the Koran put out. The very beginning, they tell you the Minhagei Adarot.
Okay. Write it down where it says you wrote Tova to write down. I should look in Gopin and I should look in the Siddur. I have them both. Yeah.
The first pages are just everything that I
good. Good. I'll look. I'm very curious to look. If that Taku was his opinion, then I have to say it aloud. I shouldn't have any pangs of conscience. Gentlemen, this is a problem that lives on. We have no black and white solution. First of all, the authority of the Beit Yosef. How many of you have gone on a tour of Har HaMenuchot? How many of you have seen the crowds that come to Har HaMenuchot Erev Rosh Chodesh? Particularly Sephardic women. Can anyone tell me why? Eged runs more buses than usual Erev Rosh Chodesh. Everyone comes. What is the first grave, the first ohel that greets you right as you walk into Har HaMenuchot? The Chida, the grave of Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was reinterred here from Italy, where he died, where he was buried. And his kever is, of course, like a Chassidic Rebbe's grave. The Chida was Echad Megedolei Gedolei Yisrael. His knowledge was unbelievable. The amount of Sfarim he wrote was unbelievable. And he did a lot of traveling. You all know what was his profession. He was a Shaddah. What does a Shaddah stand for? Shliach Rabbanan. There's two volumes set, I believe. It is by Avram Ya'ari. It's put out by Moshe Lefkowitz. It's been reprinted maybe 20 times. It's a history of rabbinic scholars traveling throughout the world to raise money for the Torah institutions in Israel. A fabulous piece of research. So you'll see about the Chida, who he was, the on which he is held, the manuscripts he uncovered on his travels. I think he loved to travel because he loved to go into these Batei Medrash and see the Kitvei Yad they had. Now, in one of his, and he wrote tens and tens of Svarim. In one of his Svarim, Shelet Tshuvot Chaim Sha'al, Chelik Aleph, Siman Ayin Daled, Seif Hey, Ot Yud Aleph. I repeat, it's totally broken down in subdivisions. Shelet Tshuvot Chaim Sha'al by the Chida, Chelik Aleph, Siman Ayin Daled, Siif Hey, Ot Yud Aleph. And he says, even where you find a Psak Halacha of Maran, they don't even mention Rav Yosef Karo's name, Maran. We say Maran, Habe Joseph. They just say Maran. Even if it's only in a tshuva, and it's not in his Shulchan Aruch, it is enough to obligate every Jew. And his tshuva, a halacha lemaisa, listen to these words, they're going to come back to haunt us, v'adif me ha-Shulchan Aruch. And what he says in a tshuva is more important than a psak. Wow. And he gives the exact example I gave. I'm having a machloket with Yaakov over money. It doesn't matter. If the Shulchan Aruch discussed that issue, you must follow the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody else can interfere, be it the Rif, the Rush, the Rambam. Doesn't matter. Shulchan Aruch has such authority because Kiblu Haleichem Kol Yisrael.
I'm saying even
his tshuva have such authority that even when he paskin something in a tshuva, you cannot disagree, you cannot leave the path. And if I have a fight with Jacob, the example I gave you, you cannot say Motzi mechaber olav haraya, because the psak is like the Maran, the Beit Yosef, no matter where he says it. Shulchan Aruch, Tshuva, Kesef Mishnah, Beit Yosef.
What happens if there's a contradiction between the Tshuva and the Mechaber?
Let's see, we're coming right into that. This is the heart of what I want to develop, and that's why I stress the Chida added something. He said something unbelievable. He said, Udvarav b'tshuva hem halacha l'maisa b'pratit v'adif me'shulchan aruch. And you see what we're coming into here is a double quandary that we face. One, what did he write last? Two, do we accept everything? Is it all equal? And the Chida threw in something very fascinating. When you write a tshuva, it is even more important than a psak. And it would appear from the Chida that if there's ever a contradiction and you don't know what he wrote last, we absolutely will follow the tshuva. And again, we're going to have sources, we're going to analyze why is a tshuva more important. And the most elementary reason is very simple. When you're writing a psak halacha, a sefer of psakim, you're writing a general work. The issue is not in front of you. When you're dealing with an issue that's right in front of you, this is halacha lamaaseh. People are going to follow you. People are going to marry if you permit it. People are going to weaken this restaurant if you permit it. Ah, if this is halacha lamaaseh, you're going to treat it much more seriously. You're going to do your best to reach the most proper conclusion. And then, as we'll see, there may be another factor as well. When it's halacha lamaisa, you have siyata deshmaya. God is with you. You have certain hatzlacha that you don't have if you're simply hitting away at a computer and writing a code and collecting sources and putting together Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata with all the beautiful, magnificent footnotes. But when it's a she'elah that you're asked, at that moment it becomes halacha lamaisa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. So you see, you have a dual problem that haunts you here. What did he do last? Most of the time we will never know. Most of the time among the Rishonim, they did not write dates, and we suffer because of that. The classic example, Tshuvat HaRashba. The Rashba was very prolific. He wrote thousands and thousands of tshuvot. You'll take a case that is so important in modern society, so much ink has been spilled on this case, so much machlokes has been fought. Can we retroactively annul marriage? Afkinu, Rabbanan, Kedushin, Minei, you all learned the Gemara in Gittin, you all learned the Gemara in Ketubot, you all learned the Gemaras in Baba Batra. Everyone knows that sugya. If we could retroactively annul marriage, we would solve unbelievable problems of the self-inflicted by men aguna. It's not the classic aguna. It's the Aguna you all know of. There's a case now in Washington, D.C., Baltimore. It involves students of mine. God have mercy. The man will not give a get. You all know cases. Some of you have demonstrated. Rav Shechter has been very powerful on this issue. Men refuse to give a get. You understand? No tiki, no washi. You want a get? You have to pay for your freedom. I know men who got $100,000. It's a terrible situation, and it creates a tremendous chilul Hashem, because everyone says Torah is worthless. The man is free to do what he wants. He can have 20 wives, and the woman, if she has an illicit affair, she is an adulteress, and the children mamzerim, and of course everyone hits away at Torah Hashem Tamima. Okay, can we do Hafkat Kiddush? And I'm talking at a very popular level now. I lectured on this for over a year, but this is the basic issue. So you look at the Rashba, Gadol miRabban Shmuel, one of the greatest Rishonim, and the Rashba absolutely contradicts himself. Black and white. One tshuva, he says, Hafkat Kedushin. Another tshuva, he says, we can't do it in his times, and we will never know what his real opinion was, because he never dated the tshuvat. The godlet of modern times, at least Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, the Minchat Yitzchak, they date the tshuvat. That is fabulous. Once you have a date, you can tell when they wrote what. And I'll give you a simple example by Rav Moshe Feinstein on the whole issue of Gaelic, which is such a major issue on the Israeli scene. If you saw the weekend papers, the issue comes up again and again, because Chaim Kudrupman, Rabbi Drukman, is getting pressed Yisrael this week, and the whole issue, are his Geirut good, aren't his Geirut good? And I believe the Jerusalem Post had a whole article on Friday. And Reb Moshe, because he dates his Shuvat, you can see the only issue I know of in Reb Moshe where he absolutely alters his original position. You see a development from Europe to the early years in America to the later years in America. And I quote Reb Moshe where he says, I don't engage in Geirut, but I'm a lamit skut on my chaverim who do Geirut. And he gives, of course, that famous explanation that when a ger converts, their makabel mitzvot as to what they believe or think Torah is. They think to be no different than the average Jew on the street. And of course, b'diavad, if this is the Kabbalat mitzvot, and even though it's not complete, it's not total, but it's a basic Kabbalat mitzvot, as they understand Torah Hashem, by looking at Barak, by looking at Netanyahu, by looking at Perez, by looking at all these famous Jews, so b'diavad, the Geirut is good. Now, we could never tell Reb Moshe's position if there wouldn't be dates. And this is a tremendous problem. Dating it, and where you can't date it, and you have this conflict, who is right? What comes first? And let me quote one of the greatest Sfadik Achronim, Reb Chaim Palaji. Also, what can I tell you, Reb Chaim Palaji, Gadol miRabban Shmuel, wrote so many Svarim. I'm quoting from the Kol HaChayim, Ma'arechet Yud, and subdivision Yud Zayin. Or let me just, subdivision, he has it backwards, I see what he did. Zan, it's a play on words. Subdivision Zan. Instead of saying Yud Zion, if you say Zion, instead of saying Nun Zion, doesn't make sense, doesn't read. Nun Zion, 57. If you say Zan, which is also 57, it means it feeds you, spiritual food. So it's subdivision Zan. Let me see if I have a page here. Oh, of course, there's no page. I have the manuscript in front of me, but there's no page on it. So I repeat, Kol HaChayim Arechet Yud, the Chaim Palachi subdivision Zan, Nun Zion backwards. And he writes about the Beit Joseph. Listen to this language. Maran HaKodesh refers to the Beit Joseph as Maran, who is holy. Heichi the Devarav Sodrim Mashakatav the Beit Joseph Mashakatav the Tshuvatat. We have to follow the Tshuvat. And he says that the Tshuvat, he quotes what I just quoted to you a moment ago from the Chidah, that the Tshuvat Ahalacha L'maisa, and that's even more important than the Shulchan Aruch. And when someone has it in the Tshuva, it is more important than the Beis Yosef, more important than the Shulchan Aruch. This is Halacha L'maaseh. Gentlemen, there may be another point of view, and a very fascinating point of view, and I'll show it to you in modern context, if not today, next week. What's our greatest problem in life as rabbis? There's a young man who's not here today. I wish he were here. And he told me about the rabbinate and the difficulties and people getting divorced. And he said the pressure he has seen in rabbinical homes. And no one knows it better than Aaron Rothkopf, good friend of mine. His wife, should live and be well, will tell you that in the rabbinate, she used to call the rabbi, disguise her voice, and say, "Rabbi, I have an important problem. I'd like to make an appointment to speak with you." Now, what does this tell you? The rabbi's wife never saw her husband. Off to shul, off to teach, off to lecture, off to preach, off to appear on the radio, interviewed by the local newspapers. People come to you with a question. Pressure. You got to give an answer. That's the classic story with Rabbi Alfred. I've told the story. You remember the story or not? It says it all. Rabbi Aaron Albert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, photographer, rabbi, photo editor of the Rav, the World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. I write about him in Washington. First Stella, New Jersey. A couple wants to get married. La Briut. And he meets with them. The wedding is a week from now. And he starts hearing the story of their background, the American story, and their parents, and married, divorced. He starts to worry that Chas v'Chalila, one of the people, one of the men or the women, one of them is a mamzer. No? Could you imagine? And these are typical American Jews at that time, don't know a thing. So he tells them, "Look, I have to consult, I have to check. I'll let you know, I'll get back to you by later this evening." Calls the Rav in Boston. Rebbetzin answers the phone. "Rabbi Albert, my husband is not home now, but I see you're very agitated." "Oh, Mrs. Soloveitchik, Rebbetzin Soloveitchik, I have a very difficult question. I must give them an answer. Rabbi Albert, don't worry. I will put you first on the list." An hour goes by, 2 hours go by, no call from Boston. Rabbi Albert is plotzing. He calls Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbetzin answers. They knew Rabbi Albert's father was a chazan on the east side. "Moshele," she says, "Kurms is the chazan zun. It's a Moshe," she calls her husband, "Moshele, come answer the phone. It's the chazan's son." And he says, "Oh, how are you?" And Reb Moshe says to him, "My son," I'm saying it in English, but I'm living it in Yiddish. My son, take a Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. Nemakut, take a look here. No, take a look at the commentaries. Take a look at the Pitchei Tshuva. Now, what do you think? And Roy says, Rabbi Feinstein, I think we can permit them to marry. Rav Moshe says to him, Ich tracht eichet azay. I also think so. Ach, is Roy happy. 2 minutes later, the phone rings, and it's the Rav calling, and the Rav says, Rabbi Albert, my wife tells me you're a nervous wreck. What is the problem? He tells them the Shaila, and the Rav says to him, Albert, don't use me as your encyclopedia. Did you do your research? What do you know about the issue? And he starts telling the Rav what Rav Moshe showed him, the Eben Ezra, the Beit Shmuel, the Pitchei Tshuva, and the Rav says to him, Albert, Ein Zach Kenechach Zaken. One thing I can tell you, Aya Moich is das nicht. It's not your brains at work. Someone gave you all this information. But the Rav agreed with Rav Moshe, and he was matir. But what do you see from this? Gentlemen, a rabbi at times is a nervous wreck. You're dealing with life and death situations. People want an answer. No time to be thorough. No time to work it out. Could very well be. When you write a sefer, when you lock yourself in, when you close the doors, then you can think, you can work. You have all the time in the world. No one is pressing you. I could never, ever sign a contract to do a book and have it ready 6 months from now. Couldn't do it. Because 7 volumes I have in print, but I know how long each volume took, and I didn't compromise. And I have all the time in the world. Baruch Hashem. Only the last book I wrote that I worried, Ribbono Shel'Olam keep me in good health. I have to finish this book in dignity. Because I was growing older, and I see my friends around me. But think for a minute. There's a real difference between giving a tshuva halakha lemaisa with people breathing down your back to sitting in an office with the doors closed, your secretary told, don't allow anyone to interrupt me for the next 2 hours. These are the 2 hours a day I devote to scholarship. Only life and death can interrupt me. And there you are sitting and writing and thinking and going to the computer and consulting and in Hebrew books in the library and rare books. And wow, what you are putting together is a masterpiece. All right, it took you 10 years. But you have a piece of work. A she'elah, halacha, lemaisa. They're ready to chop your head off if you don't give an answer within the next 24 hours. Yitzchak, do you feel it? You see the problem here? Yeah, I mean, you've been through it. What are we talking about? Gentlemen, there's another point of view. Exactly. Another point of view that puts down the tshuva and raises the psak. And I cite it to you from that tremendous set that has so much in it, the Stei Chemed. Again, these were the Sfadim. They're Bekiut was unbelievable. What you found in their Bekiut was way beyond Ashkenazic comprehension. And I just want to see how I cited here the Stei Chemed Chelik Tet, dealing with the Klalei HaPoskim Simen Yud Gimel Ot Lamed Aleph. I repeat, the Stei Chemed by, of course, Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini, the Rav of Chevron, 150 years ago, Chelik Tet, Klalei HaPsakim, Klalei HaPoskim, I should say, Siman Yud Gimel Ot Lamed Aleph. Now, the addition I'm citing is the Hotzaat Avraham Yitzchak Friedman, New York, 1962. Whatever the event was, I have to tell you that the set of the Stei Chemed that I own was given to me a gift by my congregation in Maplewood, South Orange, by Beth Ephraim. So I have to say that, lichvodam, this was given to me a gift. And here, exactly what I'm citing, that yes, we accept Maran, the Beit Yosef, everything he says is halacha lemaisa, and even the tshuvot are halacha lemaisa, but nevertheless, when there's a contradiction between a tshuva and between a psak, we should follow the psak, not the tshuva. And they quote the literature on the Rush, where the Rush's own children say this, that the psak is the ikar, not the tshuva. And he goes on and on with the authority of the Beis Yosef and how we accept the Beis Yosef halacha lema'asa, bein lahakel, bein lahachmira, and even in a suffolk isa Torah, if the Beit Yosef is makil, we have a right to be makil. And his authority is total, inclusive, everything that he has written. But if there is a contradiction, he quotes two achronim here from the Sephardic world who feel very strongly the psakim are more important than the tshuva. So you see, once again, you have this tremendous machloket. What counts more? What's more important? What's more reliable? What can we accept more easily when there is conflict? Halacha lemaisa, I would say, perhaps, if we know which is written later, and I'm saying perhaps, and I'll explain myself next week, I'll show you sources, perhaps if we know which is written later, we follow the later opinion. But it may very well be that there's a basic machloket, nothing to do with what's written later, nothing to do with what's written earlier. A basic machloket, what carries more weight, the psakim or the tshuvot? And that basic machloket represents life. Tshuvot, pressure, people, telephone calls, a president, people breathing down your back. This is part of the rabbinate. There is tension. There's no two ways about it. There is tension. I tell rabbis, in every profession there's tension. I don't believe that a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant don't have tension. A teacher, a professor, in every profession there's tension. But somehow when it comes to the rabbinate, we would like to believe that there's a certain feeling towards the rabbi, a certain diffidence towards the rabbi, a certain acceptance towards the rabbi. Yes, you may achieve that, but that's going to take 10, 20, 30 years. It is not easy. It is not simple. There is tension. And that's why the tshuvot perhaps are not as important as the psak, because the psak is done in an ivory tower. When Rav Yeshua Neuwirth wrote his magnificent Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, you all understand he wrote that in his time, in his study. No halacha lemaisa, no one is knocking on his door. He calls Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He speaks in learning with Rav Shlomo Zalman. He speaks in learning with Rav Ovadia Yosef. He's able to fine-tune it, to finesse it. He's able to turn out a finished product, the covered l'tiferet. Perhaps tshuvot are not on that level. Wow. And if that would be the case, then perhaps even when you know what was done last, you still follow the psak over the tshuva. halacha l'maisa. Gentlemen, let the issue hang fire. It's a fascinating issue, and I'm going to show you next week. It blows the mind, but we have it. And you'll see the sources, and it takes you right in to the contemporary world and right into your rabbinate in the year 2013. Okay, so let me review. So far, we've done a world. I just want to mention, I spoke to you at the start of this year, how happy I was to see that on the issue of Mitzitza B'Peh, I'm not the only one. Rabbi Yashiv, what a tshuva. And I plead with my students who work for Satma, maybe they know people high up, people who know how to learn, and people who have feeling for Torah. I mean, it's not just to be a sect, but to be part of the Torah people. Maybe we can play a little role in bringing about an end to that terrible Chilul Hashem that's going on right now in the greater New York area.
What is the reason for their action?
Because Dorot, they always had the Mitzitza B'Peh. And once they had Mitzitza B'Peh, it becomes Mugdash. Very simple. That's what I quoted from Rav Yashiv, that when there's the slightest sakana, the slightest, you're not allowed already to continue with a minhag, even if it's a minhag that's gone on for thousands of years. Okay, so I'm on... Yeah, I quoted it in class.
Somebody put up posters in Queens saying that he was requiring it.
It's black and white printed. I quoted it in class. It's down in the library. It's in his Shalif and Shivat. I didn't... It's right there, black and white. What they say, postish, mostis, pasvailis, God have mercy on us, what goes on. I also was very happy to show you the Shubat from Rav Avadja on the Abiya Omer and his two sons. And Dein Hachinami, I'm going to send a copy of these Shubat Boni Neder to a Rav I know who's Moroccan and became from through my people I know very well, Baron Lichtenstein and others, and learned in the Gush, and he's totally Ashkenatized. And according to Rav Avadja, it's perfect, absolutely perfect. And you see here an argument from Rav David Halevi. The other issue that I want to mention now is I was very, very naive, and this is a funny little story. Yosef Chaim Kasola lent me a volume, Hashaktan. Have you seen the volume? It's on Rav Shalom Yosef Alyashev. So I started reading the volume, and there's a part in there that his daughter, the Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanyevsky, Zichronot Tzadeket Levracha, gives her husband Musar of Chaim Kanyevsky that you're not the matmid my father is. And what does it mean? And she says to him, my father didn't know the names of his children, and you know the names of your children. So I say to Yosef Chaim, I say to him, did you read that? I said, we can't let anyone see that. We can't. Don't tell anyone, because that is not going to play well. The father didn't know the names of his own children. And Yosef Chaim and I both agree we shouldn't talk about it. You know, it was so naive. Few days later, after this conversation, a few weeks later, because I finished the book, I gave it back to him. It's an interesting volume. And a few weeks later, it seems my student, Rabbi Dr. Mark Shapiro, gave a lecture on this very topic. And there it is on the website, and you can hear the audio of the lecture. And Rabbi Yashiv and the world caved in. It seems that there was a tremendous counterattack on Mark, on Melech Shapiro, on Rabbi Dr. Professor Mark Shapiro. And he backed down slightly, that he didn't mean it for public knowledge. I never yet saw Mark back down. You should see what the websites did to Mark for backing down. And then they went after Rav Yashiv, and they gave a whole list of their complaints against Rav Yashiv. And I'm speaking to myself, I was going to keep it a secret. It's all over the websites now. Gentlemen, I want to tell you, I don't believe the volume. I think it's a guzma. I cannot believe. I know I've spoken in learning with Rav Yashiv. I cannot believe that he didn't know the names of his children. But in this world of fairy tales, it sounds good. Wow, no one has ever written this. So it was published. So there I have to say, I naively admit I was right and wrong at the same time. Yes, yes, Nachum.
I think Marshakar's point is that it's more troubling that people publish this as something to look up to.
No, I understand. Of course, it's clinical and there's a personality. I don't want to go into what Mark said. I don't want to get people mad at me now. But it's readily available in the Rishit HaRabim. But he says it's clinical, it's public knowledge, personality difficulty. Look, personality difficulty, let me tell you, I knew many Gedol Yisrael who had personality, there's no two ways about it. And you all know the Rav, if not for Rebbetzin Tanya, he wouldn't have been the Rav, plain and simple. Plain and simple. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, no, if not for the Rebbetzin. Reb Moshe Feinstein, what do you want? These are giants. But their wives seasoned them, you understand? And I know other Gedolim who you couldn't talk to. I don't want to mention names, but they were geniuses. And this is why I told you the most important words I learned in Lakewood. Ez anamala. Ez anamala. He is normal. I never knew. I said, what kind of Yiddish is that? He's normal. We're all normal. If we wouldn't be normal, we'd be in an insane asylum. But I learned already what that means. That you meet Gedol Yisrael, you meet geniuses. If they walk with their feet on the ground, it's the greatest compliment ever. So what did we do? So we finished some of the comments on all the... I have much more to comment on, many more emails and questions, but we'll leave a little bit for each time. Then the heart of the shiur is a very important shiur today, the Beis Joseph following the Drishu Prisha, the Akronichi, what does it mean? Is it a general rule or is it only there? And then we went into the whole status of the Shulchan Aruch, and what about when he contradicts himself? And the tshuva versus the Sifrei Psak, which is more important? And that is a most fascinating issue that hangs fire into next week. Now, tomorrow, I'm in a generous mood, so I can't add to the IOU list, but consider it 99 grand walking into class to the IOU list. We are heading for the finale. But we're not there yet, but what I have to say tomorrow with Das Terim, with Reb Heschel Shachter, with the Rav, and all that's gone on since that interview, tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hanotein Le'yov Koach, we are going to try to do what the Yankees just did to the Red Sox Friday night and Shabbos towards evening. Baruch HaTot Melech Olam
Shalom. That you'll pick up after the interview you're in.
I'm going to quote the interview. I didn't say one. I quoted the interview. What I have to quote tomorrow? I didn't say one syllable. Gentlemen, you'll see tomorrow. Our Torah, Sfadik, fabulous, She'ilat Halacha L'Maisa. Anyone interested? 3 copies available. Nishma from Toronto, quoting from Washington to Washington. If anyone wants it, it's yours. How long can I keep it? I'm happy, I'm proud, but it's yours. Yitzchak, this is yours. It builds up. Are you going to see Ephraim Nachum, or you don't see him? So I'll tell him I have for him. Anyone going into Chinuch, anyone, Danny, take this. You ought to get a subscription to it. It's very, very good. You can use it. It's more for a younger crowd, but you can use it and uplift it as well. Gentlemen, the latest Jewish action, it breaks the heart. The Orthodox of the family, the Orthodox family of the 21st century deals with the realities. You just look at the pictures, you can cry with all the problems we have. Personal problems, divorce, the kids who couldn't give a hoot about Yiddishkeit. And I say to you, Danny, once again, you have anyone who wants it, it's yours. You have one goal in life, to inspire the young people who come to you with the romance of being a Jew. Until we meet again in health and happiness, welcome to those new faces. Das Vidanya.